Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome into a Monday edition of the Zach Gilb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. Number to hang, as always, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Happy 10 years to CBS Sports Radio. On this day, 10 years ago, the network did launch, so we send congratulations to all that helped launch the network and everyone that has come along throughout the years. My first time actually on CBS Sports Radio was in 2013. I was doing a Stringer report from Lincoln Financial Field for Temple football against Louisville when Teddy Bridgewater was actually the quarterback of Louisville. So all those years later, after being a listener, then getting some part-time work in 2018, came into the fold hosting the weekend overnights. And then in 2020, I got my own show here Monday through Friday in this time slot of 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And this is actually year four, the start of year four of the Zach Gelb Show in this time slot. And it's very fitting that Brian Jack McKeon is here today, and that hot take Hickey's at the Rose Bowl. You know, such a big day for our network, and my producer extraordinaire is at the Rose Bowl, where Penn State is up 7-0 against Utah. And by the way, congratulations to Tulane on what was a crazy comeback. I was on Tulane +1.5. I have them parlayed, the first and only time in my life that I will bet Penn State, because I can't stand Penn State. But today I did take Penn State money line and I parlayed them with Tulane +1.5 as they had an epic comeback. And you saw USC just choke up a big lead with 4 minutes to go. So we shall see if we hit the second part of the parlay. Utah, as I say that, are about to tie up the game as they just get a touchdown. I believe that was Dalton Kincaid who had the receiving touchdown, or no, Kincaid's not playing in this bowl game, actually, but you had a receiving touchdown by Utah, and you're waiting the extra point, so this is 7-6 right now. Penn State is up on Utah, and we'll see if the extra point is good or not. But anyway, the 10-year anniversary of CBS Sports Radio launching, just real quickly out of the gate, a lot of people tirelessly that work behind the scenes here, can't thank them enough, and then obviously, without the people that tune in each and every day and create the CBS Sports Radio community and our sponsors, we would not be here if it wasn't without your support all throughout the year. So we want to just thank you and wish everyone a fantastic 2023. All right, enough with all the lovey-dovey, mushy-mushy, kissy-kissy stuff. Let's get into the two college football playoff semifinal games. So when I was watching these games or getting ready to watch the games, I know earlier in the day Alabama just crushed Kansas State 45-20. And I already started to hear all the cockroaches come out of the woodworks and start, oh, Alabama deserved to be in the college football playoff. Now, let me say this. I love Alabama. I am not an Alabama hater. I like Nick Saban. I always love when Alabama is dominant. But I am so happy that we got close games, because if we got a blowout in either of those games, especially the TCU-Michigan game, where TCU ended up winning, but if TCU got blown out, we know what everyone would have said. Alabama should have been in. Alabama should have been in. If you want to tell me you think Alabama's the best team in the country, you're allowed to say that. But give me the proof. Because if you go through this season where they lost to Tennessee, they lost to LSU, they barely survived up against Texas when you had Quinn Ewers knocked out of the game. There were multiple moments at Texas A&M where they were lucky. If Jimbo Fisher knew how to call a play late in the game, they would have lost that game. So when you have two losses and you were not impressive, you did not deserve to go to the college football playoff. But when I saw Alabama crush Kansas State, I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh, here's the conversation it's going to eventually be coming if we get a blowout. And historically, in this college football playoff, not that we need to expand, and I know we are going to expand the college football playoff, and that's already been announced, all that, and it's all about money. But there's never been a year where I go, I need to see more games. Because usually, four is enough. And this year, there were many opportunities for teams to go run away and get into the top four. And not many teams took the baton and ran with it. That's why Ohio State got in after their embarrassing performance against Michigan, because other teams went down, other teams did fall. So when I look at the two games from Saturday night, thank God we not only got two great games and two close games, but we got two classic games. And let me start, we'll go in order, TCU and Michigan. First off, congratulations to TCU. A wonderful story this year. Max Duggan, who was the longtime starter at TCU, loses a job this summer, and then because of an injury, gets back in and has had one of the more fun seasons I've ever seen from a college football quarterback. Maybe not the most prodigious stat line, but just in terms of the way that he has led that team, a team that was not picked in the top 25 before the year, a team that was, I think, picked seventh in the Big 12 before the season, and Max Duggan, and we know Quinnen Johnson is a stud of a wide receiver and is going to be a top 15 draft pick this year, but with Max Duggan's leadership, that was a major reason why that team was able to win so many close games this year. And if they didn't take the ball out of his hands at the goal line in the Big 12 championship game, the only thing you'd be critical about was Sonny Dykes this year, then they probably would be undefeated at this point and be playing for a national championship, which they are, but be undefeated instead of having one loss. But with TCU, I remember on this show when they were 5-0, we had Sonny Dykes on. And I said to him, and remember, this is now Sonny Dykes' fourth time being a head coach. I go, year number ones are so funky. He goes, if I would have told you before the year that you guys were going to be 5-0, would you have believed it? And he said, I'm not going to lie to you, Zach. I'm actually a little bit surprised we're 5-0. Think about how surprised he is now that his team is 60 minutes away from a national championship. So I know the story is just a terrible coaching job by Michigan, and we'll get into that in a second. But I'd be remiss if right out of the gate, we didn't give a standing ovation and a big-time salute to TCU, because all throughout the year, people weren't believing the Big 12. The Big 12, I know record-wise it may not indicate it, but the Big 12 was a heck of a conference this year. And TCU, all throughout the year, was a phenomenal football team. And everyone was trying to take away from TCU, how unlikely this story is of Sonny Dykes and Max Duggan playing for a national championship game in a national championship game on January 9th. It is really one of the more remarkable and craziest stories that I've ever seen in a single season in college football. Now, to the Michigan side. Jim Harbaugh, if you see some of the reports today, maybe taking an NFL job. What the heck was him and his Michigan staff doing for a month to prepare for this game? Because the Michigan team that we saw the last two times and all throughout the season was a great football team. And I thought Michigan was going to beat TCU in a close game because Michigan was just bigger and more physical. TCU did to Michigan what Michigan did to Ohio State. And TCU bullied Michigan. TCU ran the ball down Michigan's throats. TCU just dominated Michigan. And with all that being said, Michigan still had multiple chances to go win the game. Now, people could be irate about the reversal, and I thought it was a catch, and it should have been a touchdown. Don't fumble the ball at the one-yard line. And what the heck was Michigan doing not running a QB sneak there? I know Blake Corum's out for the season. I know Donovan Edwards has the hand injury. Hey, you go to a linebacker and running back, and you have him run the football in that spot? No. Line up with J.J. McCarthy. And if he can't get on his own, do what every other team does in college football. Have your lineman push him in. And what the heck was that Philly special play, too? They got too cute. And Michigan got outcoached and outclassed in that game. They even looked when they got back in the game, after a fumble, they turn in a touchdown. Then they're trying to make a stop and get the ball back. It's third and long, and you blitz. And the one guy you can't let beat you, and Duggan didn't even play his best game, but the one guy you can't let beat you is Quinnen Johnson, and you let him run right down the sideline untouched? That's terrible. So all along throughout that game, Michigan was just a stupid football team. And Michigan hasn't been a stupid football team all year. But they were stupid. Their coaching was stupid. That blitz on third down was stupid. Not handing the ball off to J.J. McCarthy a bunch of times was stupid. And look, late in the game, McCarthy, they finally used his legs, and he's off and running wild. I didn't get the approach of Michigan. And how many times are they going to run the ball when it wasn't working? Other than that big run by Donovan Edwards to open up the game. But anytime McCarthy, I know he had two pick sixes, which is inexcusable, but anytime McCarthy threw the ball deep, it was working. And they weren't doing that enough. So if you're a Michigan fan, you're gutted because this was looking like an all-time great season when you could have been playing for a national championship game and was expecting to be playing for a national championship game coming up next week. But now you're not. And the better team is off to the national title game. So that is the Michigan TCU recap. And I was watching the Michigan game with actually 15 graduates of the University of Michigan. And man, before the game, confident. Before the game, all right, let's start looking for tickets to get to the national title game. And you know when you touch that money like that, it usually comes back to burn you. But that coaching staff of Michigan, who has been flawless all throughout the year, once again, was stupid on Saturday night. Now, we get to Ohio State and Georgia. I talked to C.J. Stroud at the Heisman Trophy at the presentation, and he said to me, when I was asking about his future, he goes, I haven't declared yet for the NFL draft. I said, okay, but if I'm an NFL GM, you tell me why you should be the first quarterback off the board. And he talked about his accuracy. He talked about how he's a hard worker, all that stuff that you usually say. But I went back and watched that clip before that Georgia-Ohio State game. And he said, I'm also more mobile and athletic than what people give me credit for. And I hope to show that soon. C.J. Stroud, I know it was they lost, but he was phenomenal on Saturday night. And he used his legs, even though the numbers may not indicate it. If you look at the rushing numbers, he had that big 27-yard run, which could have set up the potential game-winning field goal if the kicker would have just made the kick. But how many times he moved around the pocket and how many times he used his legs to set up big passing plays was phenomenal. And I've said this all throughout the year. I really, 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 really like C.J. Stroud. But I didn't say I loved him. I loved what I saw on Saturday night from C.J. Stroud. He took his game to the next level, coming off an embarrassing performance the last time he was on a football field up against Michigan. So, heck of a job by Ohio State. They probably should have won the game with the way that they had that lead, but it just shows you, and I've been saying this all throughout the year, until someone takes down Georgia, how could you be so foolish to pick against Georgia? Because Ohio State threw everything that they could at Georgia. They dominated. They led the majority of the game. But if you keep them in the game, if you allow Stetson Bennett, make your jokes about him, the guy's a heck of a quarterback. The guy's a winner. If you allow that door to be open, and when you have them on the ropes, if you don't knock them out, they're going to come back, and they're going to find a way to win the game. And I've never seen, by the way, anything like that, where it's 3-2-1, Happy New Year, and the kick is wide left. That is the craziest start to a new year that I have ever seen. And I've done my fair share of partying on New Year's. But to have that theatric set up where the ball is about to get snapped in at the end of 2022 and it sails far to the left into start the new year in 2023 is crazy. And Georgia is now off to the national title game again. And they'll look to be back-to-back champions. And by the way, Kirby Smart, who we just thought was a really, really good coach the last 2 years. Are you ever going to beat Alabama? Now we know the answer to that. And they win the national title to come back this year with all that they lost and be 60 minutes away from going back-to-back national champions, being undefeated this year. And really the only close game, the only blemish, the only time you thought maybe they could lose was ironically up against Missouri. And I guess you could also then say that there's the semifinal game against Ohio State. It is remarkable what Kirby Smart has done with that Georgia program. Now, I'll give you one quick thought on the game Monday, January 9th, the national title game between TCU and Georgia. I will preface my comment by what I said earlier. I will not pick against Georgia until they go down. That means I think Georgia's winning the game. But in the gambling world, I will jump on TCU right now plus 13 points. That is too many points. I know Vegas is begging me to plus the points with TCU, so that could scare me a little bit. But TCU has been too good of a football team, and they have just given you great efforts this year, where I have a tough time seeing, even with how great Georgia is, that Georgia's just going to blow them out. I do think Georgia's going to win the national championship game. I know, big, bad, hot take to start the year. But I will plus the 13 points with TCU. So what a wonderful college football season this has been. And it all comes to an end on January 9th, as that's going to be one, I think, a wonderful game between Georgia and TCU. But these semifinal games, about damn time, we got some good games. And not only good games, we got great games. All-time great games, what we saw between Michigan and TCU. I didn't think that was going to be able to get topped. But then Georgia and Ohio State, there is no doubt about it, they stole the show. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, two teams that I did not think we'd be talking about today in the playoff mix. We'll get to those teams next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So Green Bay and then also the Steelers. Let's start with the Packers. 2 weeks ago, I thought the Packers were donezo. And I said almost every jackass in America was doing lame radio when they got that victory up against the Rams, and they just defeated Baker Mayfield and the LA Rams on that Monday Night Football game on December 19th to get to 6-8. And I thought it was such lame, pathetic radio when people were saying, do you think the Packers are still alive? Because even though the NFC has not been strong this year, I didn't think there was a chance that the Packers could win out. And I'm not, if you listen to me throughout the years, you know I'm not usually a guy that says, oh, there's no chance of something happening. But when they were 6-8 and they got two wins against the Bears and the Rams, I wasn't ready to say that the Packers are going to the playoffs. And you looked at the three teams that they were going to play, Miami, Minnesota, and then the Lions, I didn't think there was going to be a way that they could go 3-0. And I remember someone asked me, you think it's more likely they go 0-3 or 3-0? And I'll full disclosure and be honest with you guys, I don't lie. I said I think they're going to go 0-3 compared to 3-0 if I had to pick. And we know in the fourth quarter, Tua was clearly concussed, and he threw three interceptions, and they win that game. And then what happened yesterday? You could tell me you thought Minnesota was going to lose the game. And I know Minnesota got blown out by Philadelphia this year, got embarrassed by the Dallas Cowboys. But I didn't think Minnesota was just going to get steamrolled like they did yesterday. And there's probably two takes from that game. One, give credit to the Packers. Packers defense has been playing better. Kenny Clark, we know, is a stud. Jaire Alexander talked a lot of smack before that game. I thought he was going to, and I love Jaire Alexander. But when you're talking smack against Justin Jefferson, I thought Justin Jefferson was going to burn you. And it was very late in the game until Justin Jefferson even got a catch. And Jaire Alexander just embarrassed the Minnesota Vikings. He was doing the gritty. I could not believe that. So that's a heck of a win by the Green Bay Packers. But another takeaway from that game, Minnesota. I know it's tough to call a team fraudulent when they are sitting there with the record that they have. But does anyone think, even in a year where the NFC is wide open, but does anyone think a 12-4 Minnesota Vikings team is going to the playoffs? Is going to the Super Bowl this year? There's no way you could think this team is going to the Super Bowl. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. Justin Jefferson, I know he had a bad game yesterday. He's phenomenal. That defense in Minnesota has not been good other than a little bit of a 2 or 3 week stretch throughout the season. I just don't see how that team, who's not going to have a bye, is going to be able to win three games in the playoffs when they've gone up against better competition. And I know they beat the Bills, and it was a crazy game. But you look at some of those losses. Dallas, they lose 40-3. Detroit, even when Minnesota was rolling, they were a 2.5-point underdog to Detroit. Everyone's like, oh, that's disrespectful. Detroit beats them 34-23. Eagles beat them up early in the year, 24-7. But yesterday, it actually, I know that the final score was Dallas 40 and Minnesota 3, but yesterday may have been worse. It really was. That was just pathetic. That was just gutless. And that late in the year even when people have still doubted you, even with what your record was headed into that game being 12-3, to just lie down and just get rolled over by Green Bay, a Green Bay Packers team that is not a great team. There's a reason why their record is where it's been for most of this year, but to just get manhandled like that, I know there's been concern for Minnesota now for the better part of the last few weeks, but that puts the concern front and center, especially when you're playing in a window when only three other games are going on in the 4 o'clock window here on the East Coast. And you watched that game yesterday. That was embarrassing. And it is wild with how bad the Packers have looked. All they have to do is go take care of business on Sunday. And that game is at Lambeau Field and beat the Detroit Lions, who beat them earlier this year. But remember, Rodgers threw three bad interceptions in that game. All you have to do is win and you're in. McKeon, I don't know about you. I guess we could start when they were 4-8. But even when they got to 6-8 and had those back-to-back wins against the Bears and the Rams, I just did not see how they were going to win out. But now all they need is one win this final week of the season, and they will end the season on what would be a five-game winning streak and then be going in the postseason. And I know that I'm not going to sit there and tell you, oh, they're a dangerous team, they're a dangerous team. You give Rodgers life, even with the last 3 years, they've been 13-3, and have had some bad postseason experience and some bad postseason performances. But if this team gets in the postseason, I'm not telling you they're going to be great, but people aren't going to want to face them because of who their quarterback is.
Well, you're not going to want to play Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. And, I mean, maybe there's a sense, too, that these poor playoff performances over the last few years and that 13-3 finishing records, those games were all at Lambeau. Maybe there's a sense of the pressure not being at Lambeau anymore and going on the road and being a sort of underdog at this point. Maybe that's something that Rodgers will thrive on. A lot of quarterbacks do with the chip on your shoulder. And the last couple of years with winning the MVPs, with everybody praising him, with the home game being at Lambeau and then not performing well in the playoffs.
Yeah, for 2 years, yeah.
Maybe that chip on your shoulder is something that Rodgers needs. He seemed to be performing really well under it this year when everybody said the offense isn't performing well and that he's not gelling with his receivers well and they can't score points. And look at the last stretch of this season. I mean, maybe a chip on your shoulder is something that Rodgers is really going to thrive under.
And also, let's not get too far into this and too crazy and do too much analysis, but Christian Watson, it's ironic that he didn't play great yesterday, but Christian Watson becoming a touchdown machine for them and really just starting to become somewhat of a threat, even the games he doesn't play well, but now you have to really put extra attention on him. That three-touchdown performance up against the Cowboys was a catalyst to spark that team to just start to have more of a resemblance of an offense that we're used to seeing. And I know afterwards they lose to Tennessee, they lose to Philadelphia, but he still scored three combined touchdowns in those two games. It got them a piece to move in the right direction, and he didn't play great the last 2 weeks, but that offense just gave them a little bit of life. Okay, Rodgers starting to trust the guys, probably gets a little bit more relaxed because not that he lets his guard down, but when things aren't going well and he can't trust anyone, that's when you get douchey Rodgers, to say the least.
You couple that with the way the defense has performed over the last five or
defense
six games.
Defense has been big.
I mean, I'm not, with the way they performed earlier in the year, it's hard to sit there and say, oh, well, this is a team that's scary because you can't forget the first half of the season.
But and Zach, they got to win on Sunday.
And Zach, we've continuously seen this over the course of the last decade plus in football.
Oh, they won a Super Bowl once as a 6 seed.
Teams that have to go into the playoffs and need to win games. Remember, the Vikings have coasted the last month of the season not playing for anything, really. The division's been essentially locked up the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that have to play for something down the stretch, teams that need to win and you're in, those are the teams that make runs. You couple that with a Hall of Fame quarterback, a defense that's playing really good right now, plus the
getting
emergence of the receivers,
too.
And the health with that team. It's not that crazy to say that. And plus, again, you're getting Rodgers with a chip on his shoulder as an underdog on the road, not dealing with the pressure of playing at Lambeau and having to perform in front of that home crowd. I'm just saying, Zach, I mean, over the last few years with the cold weather at Lambeau, it's been a narrative, right? Oh, with the crowd and the cold weather, how is the road team going to win this game? Now you don't have any of that pressure. Now you're going on the road and Rodgers gets to be the bad guy. He gets to be the villain where he thrives the most on the road. It's a hard team to sit there and say that there's no possibility of a run here.
Also, the return was massive as well. And we know how bad special teams has been the last few years for Green Bay. You got the pick six as well. in that game by Darnell Savage. They just played great complementary football yesterday. Where in all three phases, they were thriving. And Jason Kelce once said it, hungry dogs run faster. This is a hungry dog right now, and they are running pretty damn fast with the Green Bay Packers. And also, you look at the NFC.
That's my question.
A lot of these teams right now are showing some warts. Like Jalen Hurts, I guess, is coming back this week. I know that Philadelphia's defense last 2 weeks has not looked good, but you got to see how much rust Jalen Hurts has to knock off.
Is he fully healthy, too?
And not only that, even if he plays this week, you would think they're going to find a way to get the number one overall seed. I know they had the last 2 weeks to lock this up. They haven't. But if he does get the number one seed, he comes back for a game, then is out again because wild card weekend, and then you go out and you see him in the divisional round. The Cowboys,
keep going, though.
You keep going.
Is there a
down
team that necessarily you go – and, again, the Niners are the best offense in the league, the best roster in the entire league probably, right? Brock Purdy versus Aaron Rodgers, does that QB matchup really scare you if you're a Packer fan?
The one thing, though, the 49ers have owned the Packers.
And they're awesome, and especially going to Frisco. They Packers haven't been able to touch them. But look at that QB matchup, Rodgers versus Purdy. It's going to be pretty hard to not, especially if you're going to be getting a touchdown in that spot. I know you like to sprinkle in the gambling. You're going to be getting a touchdown in that spot. Ouch.
And just right when they needed to, Mike Evans and Tom Brady finally found their connection again. Didn't score a touchdown since early October, October 2nd. And then yesterday, against all odds, they get three touchdowns and had that crazy comeback. It is kind of funny, McKeon. All throughout the year, deservedly so, we have killed teams like Tampa Bay. We have killed teams like Green Bay. And just because who their quarterbacks are, and Green Bay, right, their overall construction of the roster has been playing better than Tampa Bay. But when you have Rodgers and you have Brady, and this has been wide open, yeah, the two best teams throughout most of the year in the NFC have been Philadelphia and has been San Francisco.
And Minnesota, but I mean,
Minnesota has always been but.
Exactly, because are you going to trust them in a postseason game at all? I mean, with all the performances they've had this year, that offense, I can't trust a second of Kirk Cousins in the playoffs.
Now, the same things that I was yelling about 2-3 weeks ago and calling people idiots about, you now look at it and you're like,
coming to fruition. Yeah.
Brady and Rodgers in the playoffs. Okay.
What a swan song that would be, an NFC title game. Packers going to Raymond James Stadium.
Oh, jeez.
What a swan song. With the dominance we've seen in the NFC this year between the Niners and the Eagles, and then you still see Brady Rodgers.
And I always have liked Mike Tomlin and been a big Mike Tomlin fan.
It's open.
The job that he's doing this year is this team was 3-7.
Don't remind me.
Go back to December 11th. They were 5-8 after they lost that game to the Ravens.
And that pretty much put the nail in the coffin.
Mm-hmm. But they have only lost two games since their bye week. And then coming out November 13th, they lost two games to the Bengals and then to the Ravens.
I put it on your sheet there, too. Their clinching scenario, it seems like you could not possibly fathom a way that the Steelers are going to get into the playoffs. It's not that out of.
So the Steelers need to beat the Browns.
They need a loss from the Patriots against the Bills, which is very likely.
And Buffalo, we'll see after tonight how much that game. That game's going to mean something anyway because Kansas City won
Kansas
yesterday.
Kansas City won, so Buffalo
has to win either way. So
and
they're
then they
going
to
play
the Jets
everyone.
To beat the Dolphins, which isn't that out of. It's not a stretch to say.
Well,
that.
The Jets don't have a quarterback, but neither do the Dolphins right now. Because I even saw Mike McDaniel say today they haven't even thought about playing Tua for this upcoming week. And the Dolphins' decision is going to be, is Teddy Bridgewater going to be healthy enough, or is it going to be Skylar Thompson?
And so after you thought the Steelers could have A, been dead, and B, with the rookie
time out. The Packers, we at least had a conversation.
Yeah.
No one has had a conversation about Pittsburgh other than, I like what I'm seeing out of Kenny Pickett for the last 5 weeks. But here they are where we were thinking, it's a lock that Mike Tomlin is going to go into at the end of the season, is going to finally have a below 500 season. They're now 8-8. They beat Cleveland. It's not out of the realm of possibilities that the Bills beat the Patriots next week. It's actually expected the Bills beat the Patriots. Yeah. And the Jets-Dolphins, that's going to be the tough one. That one, I have no clue how
Steeler
that game
fans
goes.
Are going to be sitting on. You know what? If you're the Jets, just for that loss in the AFC Championship game, just for that, Jets, please lose the game. Lose the game, Jets. That's how you get it. The Jets can finally get back at someone by losing.
So it's wild. So I got to give credit. Pickett was awesome last night when he needed to. He's been having those got-to-have-it moments. And you've seen what he's done really ever since that bye week. I know he had to miss a game and a half, two games because of that injury. But you start to get more and more talent around him on the offensive side of the ball. He's looking like he could be a player in this league. So I got to tip the cap to Mike Tomlin, and also got to tip the cap to Aaron Rodgers, because both their teams, Packers more so than the Steelers, because the Packers control their own destiny, but the Steelers still alive as we start to progress into Week 18. But before we get to Week 18, oh, we got maybe an AFC Championship game preview tonight between the Bills and the Bengals. So can't wait to watch that one on Monday Night Football. Zach Gelb here with you. We will take a break. When we do come on back, the Bucs do clinch yesterday. We'll get into a little bit of Tampa Bay. But first up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here is my radio godmother, the great, the spectacular, the wonderful, Eric Erskine.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Two things from the gambling world today when it comes to college football. So it was 45-30 with a little over 4 minutes to go between USC and Tulane. And Tulane comes back and wins the game. And the quarterback for Tulane on that final drive, Michael Pratt, was really damn good. It was impressive what they were able to do on that final drive. And it had that big conversion on fourth down as well. But that last the last play for Tulane on offense, how it was originally said no catch, I'm looking at it, I'm like, what are they looking at? And I got a little bit concerned, because when you leave it up to the Zebras, you never know. But then they did make the right call. But what a wonderful turnaround and what a wonderful year for Tulane, who just is 12-2 now. They go out there, they win the Cotton Bowl, and they come back where USC had that game won with a little over 4 minutes to go, being up by 15. You have the Heisman Trophy winner in Caleb Williams, but you had the throw on 4th and 6 by Pratt. Then on 4th and 10, completes it to Alex Bauman for 24. And then on 2nd and goal at the USC 6, they go back to Bauman for the touchdown. And then they're throwing the ball around USC at the end of the game. And obviously, they can't do anything with it. So Tulane wins 46-45. And you just look at what they've been able to do this year from where they were previously. Last year, being a 2-10 football team, that is just a great coaching job by Willie Fritz, who 11-2 now as they do find a way to win the Cotton Bowl. 12-2 now as they win the Cotton Bowl. Just a heck of a job. And USC, yeah, next year they'll have Caleb Williams back. Yeah, you got Lincoln Riley. Until they start to learn how to play some defense, and I know they almost got to the college football playoff this year, and they were very alive to do so, and they have been a phenomenal story this season as USC is now back. But if you want to, and we could say, is USC back? Or are they back, right, when you get in that conversation? Well, USC made their trumpet return next year, but if they want to get back to winning championships, they got to find a way to get something on the defensive side of the ball, because offensively, they are sensational. Now, it's not always going to be as good as Caleb Williams, clearly, but when you bring in the coach like Lincoln Riley, we've seen what he was able to do at Oklahoma with Baker Mayfield winning Heisman Trophy, Kyler Murray winning Heisman Trophy, Jalen Hurts being a Heisman Trophy finalist, and now Caleb Williams at USC winning a Heisman Trophy. You got to find a way to play better defense, because when you put up 45 points, you think you should win, and they ended up losing 46-45. So a wonderful story by Tulane. Just want to congratulate them. And then in what was a very emotional game today, obviously the first game since the passing of Mike Leach, Mississippi State did go up against Illinois. And Mississippi State, they got that game-winning field goal late in the game, and just see the emotion on the sideline was really something. But then when Illinois was trying to throw the football around late, you have Mississippi State take it the other way, and usually you just see a player go down. He goes into the end zone, and I was watching some of that game, and then I started to turn it off once they get the field goal. I go, okay, what an emotional scene. Those kids, they so deserve it. Obviously, with what they've just gone through with losing their coach, I can't even imagine it. But then if you get into the gambling world a little bit, I then all of a sudden thought that something went wrong in the game, because see everyone tweeting about the game and going nuts. And I didn't realize that the spread was 3.5 points, McKeon. And that final play where Mississippi State takes it in after the field goal, which I just thought, okay, game over, nothing to do in the gambling world, that obviously did mean a lot to some. So just crazy.
Funny how that works, right?
It's crazy how that worked. I honestly was panicking. I go, did I turn off the game and Illinois had like the band is on the field kind of play that went down? Because once that field goal went through, I went elsewhere. So Just a really good day of college football. And obviously, for the Mississippi State kids, fantastic to see them get a bowl victory today, especially since their first game without their coach in Mike Leach. I just can't even imagine what that program and what those kids have gone through. And we talked about how great of a man and what Mike Leach has meant to college football. And obviously, we're all going to miss him. So good for Mississippi State honoring their coach the right way today and getting a victory. And right now, you do have the Rose Bowl as well between Utah and USC. And that's all tied up at 14 going into half. By the way, LSU, too, just crushed Purdue today, 63-7. But let me ask you this, McKeon. Bowl season, where are you at on it this year? And I know it's inevitably coming in 2 years, the college football playoff expansion, where it's going to go to 12, and it will probably lessen the importance on these other bowl games just because, all right, then you got multiple playoff – you got a ton of playoff games instead of just the two semifinals and then obviously the national championship game. Have you really been that big into bowl season this year, or does it not really mean that much to you because of the fact that, okay, you really just look for who's in the playoffs and is going all the way?
Unfortunately, no. I haven't been that into it. It doesn't have the juice I feel like it usually has on most years. And I will say this too. I think we're all kind of like subconsciously waiting for the playoff to expand and just get us to that at that point.
Yeah,
I know
so
there's
2 years.
So many people that want to stand out against it, but it's funny how the debate that went on for how long it went on about whether or not the playoff would be good or not, this year kind of to me solidified that it would be perfect for the sport.
Oh, I actually think the opposite.
Really?
I think this year shows why it's just so unnecessary because we had trouble finding four teams.
True, but with the upsets
like, I didn't need to see any more Alabama. I didn't need to see... I know Ohio State played a heck of a game. I didn't have to. If Ohio State didn't have USC go down, I need to see more Ohio State. And I know they played a wonderful game
against
Georgia.
No one in their right mind saw TCU winning this football game going into the game.
Which is fair.
No one saw them winning.
But they had an invitation to the dance.
But they come out and get the upset, which shows you that maybe if USC got on, you see an upset there. You know, Alabama could have got in. Alabama definitely all year.
But they didn't deserve to get in this year.
Of course. But Alabama, if they did get in, would have been a heavy bet team, a must-watch game because it's Alabama. And also, we saw plenty of times this year, yeah, Alabama was very susceptible to losing big-time games.
They were a heavy bet team against LSU and Tennessee.
Thank
lost both
much.
Those games.
Loved the LSU game.
Oh, yeah.
But my point to that—
I was probably with you.
My point to that, I was on the field at Death Valley after one of the great— I was at that game. It was.
Oh, were you really?
I was at the game.
You were at Bama LSU this year?
Yes, I was. I hit plus 400 on the money line for LSU. I stormed the field at Death Valley.
Oh, I thought you were on the other way of it.
No. I stormed the field at Death Valley. It was one of the great sporting moments of my life.
Wow.
But there were just too many opportunities I felt this year in the college landscape between the top-tier teams where teams are going down, where if you would have had the 18 playoff, there could have been some crazy raucous stuff going on.
They're going to 12.
I understand that, and it might get too messy with the 12, but regardless—
12's too many.
But regardless, you could have some crazy upset, and I think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for that NFL vibe of the six taking down the one. That's what they're looking for.
4 or 5 years ago, I was in favor of expansion.
Okay.
Then the last 3.5, 4 years, I went away from it. But when I was in favor of it, the format I always proposed was 8 teams. You're 5, and I know we don't know if there's going to be a Power 5 moving forward, but until we get more clarity with these conferences, I always said, and it's kind of irrelevant at this point because we know they're going to 12, but if they were going to expand, I thought 8 was the proper number, or maybe 6, but I usually went with 8. 5 Power 5 conference champions, the one group of 5 spot, like Tulane, what you saw today, should get in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the 2 wild card spots. But to go to 12, that's all what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I've already waved the right flag. I know that why they're expanding, but there's never been a year for me where I've said, okay, the 4 that they've put in, some team got screwed, or I need to see more teams because the regular season takes care of it. And what concerns me, mm-hmm, when you go to 12 is when you get these big games, and I know both Ohio State and Michigan got in, but that Ohio State-Michigan game, the winner of it was in, the loser was going to have to sweat. When you go to 12, if both those teams are undefeated or if one has a loss, a 2-loss Michigan's going to get in. A 2-loss Ohio State is going to get in. So obviously that game always has mega, mega, super, duper, duper importance. But it takes away, it gives you insurance a little bit.
It puts far less pressure on those games at the end of the season when you have a big road game and you can't afford to lose that game.
And that's what I love about college football.
It takes away that pressure for sure, because you know even with the there's going to be three lost teams at some point getting into the playoff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to create, too, the first week of the college football playoff, you're going to see too many that those. I'm assuming the seeding's going to work with one place 12. You're going to see far too much of...
The first four would get byes, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so that's a little better, I guess. But even so, a 5 versus a 12 would probably kill them. I mean, there is a staunch difference between those top 6, top 8, and even the bottom 12.
Now, what I really hope happens, and I think this is what's going to happen, in that first round, before you get into the bigger games and they'll go to neutral site, I hope that those games are played on the home campus to give a little home field advantage.
See, I agree with you completely. That's the thing I was going to mention right after you. That needs to be a new way to do it.
Where, like, for example, if a Big Ten team is a higher seed, you got an SEC school coming to you, you wonder how the weather does factor in as well.
Oh, I mean, could you imagine a home game at LSU?
But you never know, though, with some of these scenarios, because if for example, like, let's say you have a Big Ten team hosting a team from down south, and people are going to go, oh, no, it's going to be a neutral site. Weather, we got to put a dome on everything.
Screw
Everyone's got to be soft. Let's hope that doesn't happen moving forward into the future. Zach Gelb here with you. CBS Sports Radio, No Huddle Offense next.